Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7 deals in that with a man by the name of Gideon. And I've preached on Gideon many times over the years, I guess. And probably won't tell you much that you don't already know. But I find that a lot of times, a lot of us are just like Gideon. And in looking in Gideon's life, I guess the overall theme is two things in Gideon's life. Is that he had a hard time trusting, but God always proved that he was there. And that's really what I want to preach on today, is having a hard time trusting, but the proof that God is there. I ask you to stand to your feet this morning as we look in Judges chapter 6. I'm probably not going to be able to preach all this message this morning. And so wherever God says quit, that's where I'll quit at today. How's that? In Judges chapter 6, look in verse 11. You have to understand what's happened at this time. Israel has sinned against the Lord according to verse 1. As a matter of fact, you'll find the same statement 7 times in the book of Judges. As it says in verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. 7 times you'll find that in the book of Judges. God delivers them into the hand of the Midianites, into the hand of the Amalekites, and the children of the east. They come up and they destroy everything, all their increase, their sheep, their oxen, according to verse 5. Israel's greatly impoverished, according to verse 6. God sends a prophet and he preaches to them and tells them what God has done for them. And then that they did not, if you look in verse 10, at the very end of that verse, but you have not obeyed my voice. You want to get yourself in trouble with God? Then don't obey his voice. And that'll get you in trouble, and that with God. But look in verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. The Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. And then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass in the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. And then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. And then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Therefore on that day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, help us now. Help those that are in need. Help those that are hurting. Encourage them today. But Lord, I pray that you would come by and touch us while we might preach for just a little while. We need a touch from heaven. Lord, we cannot preach this on our own. We have studied this and studied this. But Lord, without the hope and the help of the Holy Spirit, and that working in men and women's and boys and girls' hearts today, and you using me, Lord, there's no hope that this will accomplish what it's supposed to. And Lord, I pray you'd come by and touch. If there's one that's lost, save them. If there's somebody that needs help, I pray that help would be found in you today. Again, we beg for help from heaven. For this in Jesus' name we do pray, amen and amen. When I looked at Gideon's life and I began to study this and look over it again and began to consider some things about him, especially when we're going to get on over into the rest of the story of Gideon, he really struggled to trust God. Even though God was proving himself, and let me say this, that even though that God has gave us reassurance time after time after time, why is it that we struggle in our faith and in our trust in the Lord? I'm going to be honest with you, church. I've struggled many times with my faith in Him, knowing that He saved me, knowing that He's kept me, knowing that He's done things for me that only He could do. Because He loved me, and knowing that He done them because I asked Him to do them. Ain't that amazing? I still get excited when I pray in that to heaven, and God hears my prayer and answers my prayer. I still get amazed that heaven is listening to me. I get amazed at that. You may not get amazed at it, but I really get amazed that God cares enough to answer my prayer. Let me say today that by way of introduction, He's never let you down. If you're saved today, I'll guarantee, ain't that right, church? Amen. And He's never let you down, and He's never let me down. Listen today, I'm glad that we live by faith. What was it that He said over there? He said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes sight is a little easier than faith is. I'm just going to be honest with you. In our flesh, we like to see and we like to feel and we like to touch. And we just like to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that yes, I'm headed in the right direction. Or no, I need to stop right here and wait on God and see what God is going to do. Can I tell you today that God knows you're struggling and that to trust Him. God knows that you're having a hard time and that with some things. And let me say this, when I preach this, I want you to know that God knew that Gideon was going to have a hard time trusting him. And you know, along the way, God didn't make it easy for him either, by the way. If you know the story of Gideon, we'll see it here after a while, or maybe tonight, when he gets his army ready to go, he's got 32,000 men. God said, that's too much. He says, get shed of some of them. He said, go home if you're scared. And 20,000 of them went home, and now he's got 10,000. And God still said, Gideon, that's too much. And so you come back and you can hear the rest of the story tonight. But in chapter 6, I want you to see, first of all, number one, the instruction that came from the Lord. Now notice about Gideon in chapter and verse 11 as the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. And so we understand that it is of God is what's going on. But notice where he is. He is down in the wine press, by the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. You say, why do you make reference to that he is hiding? Because when the angel begins to talk to him in verse 12, he said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Here you've got a man who is supposed that God says you've got courage and you've got strength in regard to danger. But here he is hiding down by the wine press. Sometimes we get in the same way if we're not careful. We want to hide. We want to hide from everything that is coming against us. He's wanting to hide from the enemy. Have you ever wanted to hide from the enemy? I mean, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Listen, have you ever just wanted to hide from the enemy? Do you know that we're not supposed to hide from the enemy? If we're hid in Christ Jesus the Lord, and it's Him that will strengthen us and help us with the battles that we face and that we fight. But here He is, and He's hiding. And I remember my pastor preaching on this years ago, and he's threshing wheat down by the wine press. He said, how was he doing that down by the wine press? Getting that wheat to separate from the chaff. And I can remember as he made motion and wasn't just throwing that wheat up in there and blowing on it, you know, trying to get it to separate out. Sometimes we do some crazy things when we're trying to hide from the adversary. If you've never been in a fight with the devil, then you don't understand what I'm saying. But if you've ever been in a fight with the devil and you've been concerned about what God wants you to do in your life, and there just always seems to be something pulling in one direction and something pulling in another. But notice that the promise that he got in his instruction, the very first thing that the angel said is, the Lord is with thee. You know, when you've got the Lord with you, then nothing else really matters, church. Nothing else really comes to compare when the Lord is with you. But I want you to notice what Gideon said in verse 13. He said, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? I'm going to be honest with you. The angel said, the Lord is with you. But Gideon sure didn't feel like God was with him. You ever been there? You ever been to the place where you have felt like that God ain't with you anymore? You knew God was with you at one time. And by the way, once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't get shed of Him. He ain't leaving and He ain't going nowhere. He bought you and paid for you by His darling Son and shed His blood at Calvary so that you could get saved. And by the way, you ain't yours no more. Amen. You belong to Him. But notice that the angel said, the very first thing that he said is, the Lord is with you. Shouldn't that be an encouragement to us today? To know that the Lord is with us. I mean, what did he say there? He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You know, David said at one point, he said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Ain't you glad me and you've got somebody to trust in today? But Gideon was having such a hard time trusting. He felt like God wasn't nowhere around. He's looking at the circumstances that are out there. And he said, look, as he's talking to this angel. By the way, don't even know he's an angel right now. And he said, if the Lord is with me and he's with us, then why are we in the shape that we're in? Well, I can tell you why they're in the shape that they're in. Verse 1 tells us that. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. That's why they were in the shape that they were in. And by the way, Gideon is, his father is one that is harbor or has the altar in that to Baal where they live at and in this city. And so Gideon, he's surrounded by this idol worship. And he's wanting to know where the God of heaven is. And he says, where are the miracles which are fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. God hadn't forsook them. God had just let Midian take over because of their sin. You want to get in trouble and you want to cut yourself off from God? Go out there and get in the world and sin. Let sin come in and set up in your life. And I'll tell you something else, church. When you forsake the Lord and the right way. Now, I'm glad you can't walk away from it. He's always going to get your attention. He's going to get your attention. But I'm going to tell you what. If you want to go out there and serve the world and serve self. And Romans talks about whoever you yield your members to. That's what you'll do. But friend, I'm going to tell you, it'll feel like he's forsook you. But you know what? Job did nothing wrong but serve God. And he felt forsaken. Think about that for just a second. Now, I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself this morning. You ever been in the place that Gideon's in? You look around and you just feel like God ain't nowhere around. And you're looking at all this out here and you know that God's wanting you to do something, but you just ain't sure about some things and you just don't feel like God's out there anywhere and you just don't understand what's going on. But he said, but the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hand of the Midianites. Now he's right about that. God had delivered them into the hand of the Midianites. But it's because of their sin. And I want you to understand something about Gideon. God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't even see himself. I always wonder about that in my life. Let me stop right here and say this. I know a preacher, he got saved and within about a week of getting saved, he said, I believe God's calling me to preach. That's a little strange, ain't it? In a week of getting saved, and he now feels like God's calling him to preach. He'd been a truck driver all his life, and when he had got saved, and a week later, he says, I think God's calling me to preach. He said, how can that be, preacher? He has no understanding. He has no study. He hadn't been in church. I mean, all these things. But now he thinks God has called him to preach. And by the way, he turned out to be one of the best evangelists and pastors of church today. You say, how can God do that? God does things because he sees us. Look, take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. This is one of my most favorite verses, some of my most favorite verses when it talks about God's wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. I'll let you get there because I want you to see this. He's dealing with God's wisdom. For you see your calling, brethren, in verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in its presence. God does what he wants to. God does it how he wants to. You've got a man that's hiding out by the wine press that's trying to thresh wheat over there and hiding from the enemy, from the Midianites. But God didn't see him as he was. God saw him as he could be. See, God don't always see you as you are right now. Do you realize that the whole struggle that Gideon had this whole time, God never one time got angry with Gideon. Not one time. Then he got angry with Moses. You go over to the book of Exodus chapter 3 and you go over and read that sometimes. And I mean, Moses kept giving excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And finally he said, "Lord, I can't talk. I'm not an eloquent speaker." And God said, "Who made your mouth, Moses?" And he told him, he said, "Lord, you send down our hoof if you want to send." But he basically said, "I don't want to go." The Bible said, and God was angry. You know, Moses already knew what he was supposed to do. He just wouldn't go do it. Gideon was just trying to figure out through all this trouble and through all this faith that he was to have and this trusting, is this really what God wants me to do? Lord, I'll do it if that's what you want me to do, but I'm just trying to make sure. You ever been there? I've been there. I'm there just about every day, it feels like some days. As I told you about that preacher who got saved and God called him to preach shortly after he got saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Before God knew the faithfulness, God knew, listen to me. God already knew the faithfulness of Saul, of Paul the apostle. He already knew his faithfulness because he could look out through time and see that. But Paul didn't know his faithfulness. Paul didn't know what he was going to do down the road. But listen, God knew. God knew his faithfulness. You know, God knows again what we're going to become before we ever do that. God knows who to call and put in the ministry. You say, well, some have fell along the way or some have quit along. They have. And I think when they get up out of glory, I think when they lose their rewards, I don't know how he's going to show it, but I think he's going to tell them and show them what they could have had. Some people just give up on serving the Lord. Verse 14, the Lord looked upon him. You know, he said, "Who?" He said, you've forsaken us. But the Bible said the Lord looks at Gideon. He looks upon him. He sees him. He says, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the dead, or from the hand of Midian, of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" God said, "Look, Gideon, you're going to deliver them. You just got to go, and you just got to do it." You know, whatever God wants you to do, he's going to supply the way to go and the way to do it. Now, it's easy for me to stand up here and I say, I know we don't call everybody to the mission field. I know we don't call everybody to be a preacher. I understand all that. But I'm telling you right now, there's always times, there's always struggles in life. There's always a direction that God is wanting you to go, wanting your family to go, wanting this church to go. There's always a direction there that we're trying to go. And sometimes it looks hard. And sometimes it is hard. And Gideon begins to make an excuse in verse 15. God said, "Look, Gideon, I've sent you to go and fight the Midianites. And you're going to win." But he begins to make an excuse. I mean, is that not what we do when God wants us to go do something? The very first thing we'll do if we're not careful is begin to make an excuse of why we can't go. And he said, "Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." You know, all that might have been true. You know, when I've read that, I've always wondered, did he make that up? Did he really view himself that way? Or is that really the truth? You know, whether he made it up or whether it was the truth, God didn't care. God didn't care. God didn't care if he was the least and was the poorest in Manasseh, and if he was the least in his father's house. By the way, that's who God uses most of the time. He likes to use the least and the poorest, and he can do something with them. Go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know why he didn't want them to have 32,000? He didn't want them to have 10,000. But he wanted them to have 300 here in a little bit. That's so that they couldn't vaunt themselves against God. You know what he told David over there when he sinned and all these things? He said, look, when he sent Nathan over there to preach to him, he said, I've took you out of the field over there, David, and brought you over here when you was nothing and made something out of you. You know, ain't that just the Lord? To be able to make something out of nothing. The Lord said, I'll be with you in verse 16. He said, I've sent you in verse 14. He makes excuses in verse 15. But then the Lord said, surely I will be with thee. Ain't that one of the most wonderful promises that we've ever had? Is that no matter where we're headed, as long as we're in God's will. And by the way, if you get out of God's will, He's still always there, by the way. I've got a preacher friend of mine right now. He'll tell you he wasn't living for the Lord for a while. And he said, I was going to buy a car. And he said, God tried to tell me not to buy. He said, I wasn't living right, but God was still trying to help me. He said, God was still trying to tell me not to buy that car. And he said, I bought it anyway, and it turned out to be a big piece of junk. You know, sometimes you ought to pray about that thing. Amen. He said, surely I'll be with thee. So God didn't argue with Gideon. God didn't chide with Gideon. God didn't rebuke Gideon. He just said, surely I'll be with thee. And so Gideon begins to look in that direction and begins to think, well, maybe this is what God wants. Maybe this is what God wants me to do. But let's just make sure. In verse 17, he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. How many of us have ever been there? We get an idea of something, maybe that's what God wants out of our life, and we're just not sure. And we'll say, now, Lord, if that's you, then you're going to have to do something to prove it to me. Boy, I've been there before. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, I'm just trying to preach plain this morning because I got a feeling that you get in the same boat that I get into sometimes. We're all dwelling in the same flesh. If God ain't ever wanted you to do something, one, are you saved? And two, are you listening? And I guarantee you, if you're saved, God wants you to do something. But He wants you to do what He wants you to do. And so Gideon says, would you just give me a sign that it's you talking? Now remember, he don't know that he's dealing with an angel of the Lord right now. He don't know that. He don't know what's going on. He's just trying to figure out, listen, is what I'm listening to me? Or is it somebody else? Or is it really the Lord? You ever been there? Am I trying to make this up on my own? Trying to force a square peg in a round hole? And I just want to make sure that this is what the Lord wants. If you don't care about what the Lord wants in your life, man, I'm going to tell you this morning, this message ain't going to help you none. But if you really care about what the Lord wants in your life, then you'll understand that a lot of us are like Gideon a lot of times. But you know what God does? He helps him. And He gets him where he needs to be to where he can fight the battle. Let me say this today. If you've never been saved, today's a good day to get saved. I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ died and went to Calvary. Man, He loves you and He wants to help you to get saved. And it's that same Lord Jesus Christ, the one that loves us and saved us. Listen, He's the one that will strengthen us and will make Himself known to us in the way that He wants us to go. So Gideon says, just don't leave. He said, I'm going to go get you all this and I'm going to make an offering. He brings him. Now notice he said he went in verse 19 and got a kid. And he said, unleavened cakes of ephah of flour. And I mean, he bakes all this and he gets it ready to go. And he brings that kid out there, that little goat. And the angel of the Lord says, he told him to put it on that rock. And he did, and he took the end of his staff, and he touched that rock, and fire came up and burnt that sacrifice. So, God proved what He wanted right there, didn't He? I mean, you're talking about something extraordinary. God showed him what He wanted. But then not only that, in verse 21, after he showed him what he wanted, after he showed him the sign, he said, "This is what I want." He said, "Just show me a sign that it's you talking with me, Lord. Just show me that." Okay, the fire came out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And then not only on top of that, then notice that in verse 21, the Bible said that the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. I kind of think he just went and kind of disappeared. Because when Gideon, the Bible said right here in verse 22, when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." Kind of reminds you of Samson's daddy over there. You remember when the angel of the Lord came over there, Samson's daddy thought, "The Lord's going to kill us because we've looked at an angel face to, you know, the angel of the Lord face to face." I think that's what Gideon was seeing right here. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." I believe he was afraid that he is going to die because he got in the presence of an angel of the Lord. But God gave him instruction. He gave him instruction. He told him to do what? Now he's having a hard time trusting, ain't he? He's having a hard time trusting, but God gives him some instruction. One, he tells him, "You're going to go deliver Israel, and that from the Midianites." He puts up his excuse, but then he says, "Lord, if that's really you, then show me a sign." God shows him a sign. "This is what I want you to do." So then he makes an altar to the Lord right there in verse 24. And God tells him, he said, "What I want you to do is go tear down your daddy's altar to Baal." And he said, "You take that second bullock and you offer upon that altar to me, and you cut down that grove and you burn it all on that altar, and that's what I want you to do." Now I'm going to tell you something. When you're going to do, when God's wanting you to do something, sometimes you've got to fix some things at home first. You notice what he dealt with first? Notice the very first thing he had to deal with was some things at home. Did you catch that? He had to go take care of some things at home. I mean, God, I know what God was trying to do right here. I understand. I'll get there in a minute. But you know, before you can serve God, he's going to call you, but he's going to enlighten you on some things that, first of all, might need to be fixed. You might need to deal with some things before you can go any further. God's told him, "I'll be with you." And Gideon is having a rough time trusting. And notice right here, God said, "Go down there and build an altar unto the Lord upon the top of this rock." So Gideon, in verse 27, took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was. And so he takes 10 men. And the Bible said he went and done what God said to do. But notice this right here. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Now he got it done. He was just fearful in doing it. So instead of going down there in the daytime, you know, God's giving me what seemed like a great big thing to go do, no doubt to Gideon, but this was very small in what was fixing to happen. Has God not ever proved himself in the little things? But boy, they were awful big when we were doing them or going through them. But God's proved himself to be true the whole time. He said, "I want you to go tear this down. I want you to build an altar to me right there where the altar to Baal is." So he had to go home and he had to do that. But he feared so much his father's house and the men of those city, and the men of that city, that he done it of the nighttime. I find that kind of comical too, because God called him a mighty man of valor. Again, God knows what we can become more than what we know. So when they got up in the morning and they seen what happened, they said, "Bring him out here and we're going to kill him." But notice this was his daddy's altar to Baal. And it was his daddy who said, look, he said, if Baal is really a god, then let him plead for himself. Reckon where he got that wisdom from. I mean, seriously. Reckon where all that comes from. You know, God can change people's minds and people's hearts. I mean, this is his daddy's altar to Baal. I mean, he's a Baal worshiper. I mean, that's what he does. And I know that Gideon was his son, but notice right here that that he said, you're not going to put him to death. He said, if he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. So Gideon goes and does what God says to do. And boy, you're talking about making a spectacle of things. Man, I mean, he not only built an altar, tore down Baal's altar, not only did he build an altar there, I mean, he tore down the grove. I always wondered how he done that without people knowing of the nighttime. Don't you reckon they heard that hewing and that cutting and all of that? I don't know if God put a deep sleep on them or what. I don't know, like he done King Saul over there. But nonetheless, by the time they got up in the morning, all this was done. So notice his first battle was in his own house. You know, sometimes when you're going to choose to do something for God, the very first battle you're going to have to deal with is at home. I'm not saying it's that way all the time. I'm just saying it might be. He said, you're going to have to go fix some things down at the house. Maybe you just need to fix some things. Gideon starts out struggling. And you know some of the hardest people that you have to face, listen to me now, I'm fixing to close. Some of the hardest people that you'll have to face is your family. See, it's easy for me to spout off and tell sinners that they're sinning, but boy, when it's my family, it's a whole different ballgame. But I want you to see something. God moved in that situation and done something for Gideon that only God could do. Let me ask you, are you struggling to trust this morning and God's already proved himself to you? I'm going to finish this up tonight, Lord willing. But I'm telling you, I find myself like Gideon. And what I need is just some help along the way. And maybe that's where you find yourself at today. Let's bow our heads across the house this morning. Maybe you need some help today. Maybe you need some strength today. Why don't you come and pray? We ain't going to sing. We ain't going to have no music. But if you need to come and pray, I want you to come. If God, listen, maybe you say, I know the Lord's wanting me. Maybe you know God's wanting you to do something, but you don't even know what it is yet. You say, I just feel like he's dealing in my heart with something. You know, if you'll come and talk to him, he's just liable to show you what you need to do. Are you struggling today in trusting God? You say, preacher, if I come up out of that altar, everybody's going to know that I struggle to trust God. Can I just tell you that your preacher struggles to trust God sometimes? And I tell him that. You know why I tell him that? Because he already knows that I'm struggling. He already knows that I'm having problems in my faith sometimes. It ain't like that all the time. I understand that and I know that. But there's just days that I struggle. And he knows that. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you know that he knows that about you too. Now if you need some help, I want you to come and pray. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you've never put your hope and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to come.